Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's all on the line for college football stars.
A 92-yard touchdown pass. Michael Penix.
Bo's going left. Bo's going scoring. Bo does what Bo does. Bo Nix.
This is a Draft Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Celebrating 35 years of fitness with a party on Tuesday, April 30th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Aloha, Beaverton, Division Center, and Vancouver Plaza.
Draft Week with Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Draft Week edition of Danny and Dusty. Oregon State had their spring showcase over the weekend. It was on the old Pac-12 Network.
They shouldn't get to call it that anymore.
It's on the Pac-2 Network.
There you go.
All right.
Put a 2 in that shield and call it good.
I think they should. Just as like an F you to everyone else. You know? Like,
why not?
Just go. Just lean into it. Even if it is like you don't actually replace the logo like on the field, you just go out there like at Oregon State with like black paint and you just go over the one.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave a little gap on the left side there.
It's fine.
Yeah, just go ahead and do it. I mean, that's what they should do, at least for the games against, like, when Oregon goes there or who goes there, Cal or Stanford, one of them.
One of them does,
One of them. I think one of them goes there. Yeah, just do it for that. Those games. Just, and then, you know, let them know. Let them know you're not playing in their reindeer games. But there's a lot said about this. Oregon State spring showcase, and you know, it doesn't seem like there's very much middle road with the fan base right now, and social media is not a good place to be getting, you know, the level-headed takes, but it just seems like everything's way too high and way too low on this Oregon State team. The fan support, I know Bill Orem of the Oregonian, he had a pretty extensive write-up on, you know, Oregon State dropped the ball on making this an event that is something that brings fans out, because mm-hmm. It was sparse. The crowd was sparse there. I mean, I think they were saying somewhere around like 3,000 people showed up. It's a spring game. Like, what are we doing caring about spring attendance? It gets an exhibition that is free. You know, when a lot of people show up, I think that is a good show of the health of your program and that people are excited about the product that you are presenting to your fan base. But I think that a lot of the schools that have a ton of fans that go to spring games are the ones that have made it an event prior to, like, right now.
Sure, you're building something and that's the thing. Like, I understand what Bill's saying. I just don't know what does Oregon State do to bring Oregon State fan in. I mean, short of free beer, like, yeah, you know.
Well, it just didn't feel like there was that big of a rallying of the troops and come out and support the spring game, like plastering on social media and all that stuff. But here's the thing that I agree with a lot of things that Bill is saying, in that mm-hmm. like they could have made it an event to you know, get everybody to Research Stadium, get all the Oregon State fans there. And it's something to feel good about in a time where things haven't felt good with this Oregon State football program. But at the same time, if you really want to truly make an event, that takes money.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, if you're Oregon State, you're sitting there and you're saying, what do we prioritize as far as where we're spending our money? Because we need to rebuild the PAC conference right mm-hmm. now from two up to something that is FBS legal as far as getting at least eight teams.
Our basketball teams look like Eastern Germany right now.
They are
completely defected.
Defections all over the place.
On the right? men's and women's side.
And we have bigger fish to fry than pumping money into the spring game and hoping that fans show up.
You need sustainability. Okay? That's what you need.
But outside of that, which I think was the one thing that people wanted to talk about, because it was a 10-3 football game. there wasn't a whole lot of fireworks in that thing.
Nope.
And the offense is never ahead of a defense.
No, defense is always going to be ahead, especially like the defense is ahead in the fall.
Yeah.
Let alone the spring.
And especially when you are bringing in a new offensive coordinator, and I know that they're trying to keep as much terminology as they can the same, but let's not forget that this is also a new system with new players.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with Bengal Branson and Josh Gray not even playing in the spring game, everybody was new.
Yeah, I say, like,
Dom Montiel wasn't.
Was there a single guy in the rotation that had time last year in the offense?
No, like game time?
Yeah.
No, but guys that have been around and been through, you know, springs before, and they've been on the roster. But look, so many new names are there. This is an uphill climb.
Yes.
And I will say that there are some things that you sit there and you look at and you go, all right, what is this offense going to look like with Ryan Gunderson? That was a big question mark, right? Is he going to be more Chip, or is he going to be more Jonathan Smith in stylistically? And I think that, like, it was kind of like I enjoyed what I saw from mm-hmm. what the vision of the offense is going to be. It wasn't very crisp at all. But there are what I saw was a team that is going to lean into the screen game, lean into multiple running schemes and styles. You're not just going to be beholden to, you know, we're going to run outside zone, we're going to run inside zone. You have gap scheme, zone scheme. You're going to utilize the screen game a lot more than even Jonathan Smith did. And you also, though, you saw some pro-style concepts and what they were running offensively. I think that I liked what I saw. The horses aren't there yet, and a lot of it is because, look, some of your best players weren't playing. Some of the guys that you're going to be relying on
mm-hmm.
weren't playing. We talked to Nigel Burton last week, and you know, he said they don't have the small speedsters all over. They got a lot more size.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, if there's one place of concern, it is that speed offensively.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't be as worried about it, because you're not playing a full Pac-12 schedule.
Yeah,
like your schedule. I think Oregon State is going to be in a decent spot. I think in the trenches, both sides of the line of scrimmage,
question marks for sure.
Big question marks, but we knew that. We knew that that was going to be a concern.
Yeah.
I didn't walk away from watching that spring game saying, mash the panic button, like things are going.
But you weren't also going
sideways.
Hey, look, no, things are going swell at Oregon State right now.
No. Timing is off between your quarterbacks and receivers when you have so many new quarterbacks and receivers, and that is truly like your first actual game type experience. You're going to see that.
Yeah.
Like, they're, I don't think they connected on deep ball the entirety mm-hmm. of it. A lot of the stuff was underneath. You had some miscommunications. Those things are going to happen. The defense is sound and is going to be good against their schedule. They are sound.
Yeah.
They don't have the guys that they had the last couple of years,
yeah.
But they are going to be sound. They're going to be in a lot of games with their schedule that they're playing. But there is a talent gap that if you go from where we were last year in the regular season to where we are now, the talent gap is massive.
Yeah, there's no Mascarenhas. There's no Omar Spates. There's no Jaden Grant, Naliki Arnold. There's no Oladapo. Like, all of the playmakers are gone.
But I think their secondary is going to be pretty good.
Like, I do, they find a way to do, but like that's the thing is, every year in the past, it was, oh yeah, they'll figure it. Like, they find those diamonds in the rough, but now the diamonds in the rough aren't your guys that are your depth that they're working through in the years. They're at the front of the rotation.
Overall, I thought with all of the turnover that they've had, with all of the new coaches that they've had,
better than anticipated.
I was not as down on Oregon State as some of their fans are, as some of the people that were covering the event were. I don't think that, I think that when you watch, say, the USC spring game that was on, the level of talent is different.
Yeah.
When people see Oregon this Saturday, you're going to go, okay.
Oh, okay.
That's different.
Those two teams are playing in the Big Ten.
They are going to the Big Ten with far less roster turnover and in playing in a completely different realm right now. And that sucks for Oregon State fans to hear. And it does suck. But at the same time, the worst part would be looking at a spring and saying, this looks like Gary Anderson type football. And that's
terrifying.
That is not what you saw at all. I think that they're in a better place than they could have been. They could have been in a far worse position heading out of spring ball. I don't think they're there. I think your running back room is really stinking good. I think your receivers have room for growth. Quarterback position is a work in progress, but you've got two guys that can run in McCoy and Robinson, the two transfers from Missouri and Idaho. And then you have Ben Goldbranson, who will be available at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a completely barren cupboard. It would be a different conversation if they were playing a Pac-12 schedule. And I think we'd be looking at it a lot differently. I think Oregon State, for this being year one of this transitionary period, I don't think they're not in as bad of a spot as what some people are painting them to be. But make no mistake, this isn't going to be the same quality of team that we saw the last couple of years that Jonathan Smith had. USC, on the other hand, defense carried the day.
Mm.
But that's not unfamiliar. We'll talk about them next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Draft Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness.
On 1080 The Fan.
USC had their spring game over the weekend as well. And, again, offense always ahead of the defense, but boy golly. Four interceptions by the USC quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, where'd the offense go? USC, I came out of watching their spring game with, they have a lot of boom opportunity with this team. Not a whole lot of bust opportunity, because if you said that, you know, like 8-4 is kind of where they need to be at.
Yeah.
I think that that's probably like 7-5, 8-4 is probably their floor, but they have the boom opportunity to, they could be really stinking good next year.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten big holes on both offensive and defensive line, especially the interior of the defensive line. Bear Alexander would have transferred, they would have been screwed.
Yeah, they're short on depth, and that was always going to be the issue.
And up front on the offensive side, there's legitimate cause for concern there. But I think the thing that I came out of USC going, hey, they could be really good, is just the ease with which their defense pre-snap looked at so much more ease than they were last year. Last year was like a lot of panic, looking to the sideline, looking at those stupid wristbands that they had on all the time, trying to figure out what they were doing. It was more of like reactionary and read and react. And their defense looked pretty good. I mean, 4 interceptions, mm-hmm. 1 to the house. They kind of stole the day for USC.
Yeah, I think the big thing is, we talked about it last week, all of the new coaches they brought in on the defensive side of the ball, the simplification, but also the aggressiveness they want to play with. And I think it was very much like, if you want to talk about, well, they'll you know, end up falling prey to really, you know, overly dramatic offensive schemes, you know, getting them to bite on stuff because they're so aggressive. It's like, they're going to the Big Ten. What offense are they worried about that's going to be just going to scheme you to death? It's Ohio State and Oregon. Those are the only two teams. Michigan, their playbook is limited to play between the tackles, go play action.
Yeah, it's Michigan with Harbaugh, at least, was more complex than that. But at the same time, where you're saying.
Teams are not going to, they're not going 53 yeah. and a third, chew you up, get you with 8 different RPOs.
Yeah.
It's play between the tackles.
Maryland will do that to you. Wisconsin apparently is going to spread it out more.
Sure.
Because they got some dudes on the outside, and Luke Fickle's wanted to change kind of their schematically what they want to do.
Generally, Big Ten football is...
It is more, we're going to hit you in the mouth, which
yes.
is... That is where the concern about up front.
Yes.
If you are not deep,
that's where
and
I'm
you do
worried.
Not have size, that's it right
yes.
there.
But as far as like what they're doing on the back end of their defense is... They don't have guys that are getting roasted right out of the gate because they're look, I was down in Eugene for USC Oregon and watching Kalen Bullock get turned around twice on the same play because he didn't know what the hell he was doing. Was just
yeah,
you just throw your hands up.
They look a lot. They simplified a lot more things, and they got really damn good coaches
mm-hmm.
on the defensive side of the ball now. And that is a far cry from what they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked way more comfortable. Miller-Moss has got to be better.
Yeah.
But again, it's a spring game. There were so many starters that were out. Just as Oregon State. They were missing a lot of guys up front. Yeah. Bear Alexander didn't even play. They were missing some of their skill guys. And this is like, everybody wants to see all of your starters during the spring game. Most programs aren't going to give that to you. Because you want it's not a time to... You know, for Bear Alexander to impress anybody, this is a time to grow, develop, get some guys on tape that largely don't get a lot of film time, and get new pieces comfortable in the scheme and the verbiage of it. And with USC, their defense looked a lot more sound, and that's what you wanted to see. Outside of that, I took really nothing away from it. I'm not going to panic over Lincoln Riley's offense because Lincoln Riley's offense is going to be just fine.
And it's
they
not like
will
they're lacking
be okay.
skill players.
They're going to be just fine there. I think the boom opportunity, if they can go to the portal, get a couple more defensive linemen, get a couple of offensive linemen, mm-hmm. pluck them off from other places, because the portal closes, what, next week? At the end of next
yeah.
week, I believe that is when the portal closes. They've got a lot of work to do in that next week or so, because you have to have depth, especially with that schedule that USC has. USC's got a gauntlet that they've got to go through, and so it'll be really interesting to me to see if they can bolster some of those weaknesses that they have. Outside of that, SC's going to be pretty good. SC's going to be pretty good next year.
It's going to be interesting to see where they end up with all of this because they don't have the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback back there.
No, and you know what? I think what we saw from this team last year, it almost felt like they were going like, God, Caleb Williams has got to bail us out. He'll bail us out. He'll bail us out from a lot of bad situations. Miller-Moss may be the right guy where if you have a bunch of skill position guys, and he's a big rah-rah guy. That was one thing that I was surprised to see out of him is how... And to kind of read the reports of what he's been doing throughout the course of the spring, he's a guy that's like the galvanizing force. And if you have that as your leader on this team for what they will be this year, that's kind of what they need. Is like, no, you can't just lean back and say, save me, Caleb Williams. You've got to have guys in accountability and guys that will step up. And I think it may benefit USC this year that they don't have Caleb Williams. Does it lower your ceiling? Yeah. It sure does not to have a guy like Caleb Williams.
Sure.
But for this transitionary period, Miller Moss, we saw, dude, threw for, what, 365 yards and 6 touchdowns in the Holiday Bowl?
And looked incredible doing it.
Yeah, that'll be all right.
He'll also know the offense inside out, backwards and forwards, because he's been there for now 3 years.
Should be a good piece to have.
So, coming up, speaking of accountability, are we ever going to get it from Major League Baseball's umpires? We'll get to that and more on our worst day on the web. But first, here's the Big Kahuna of the Sports Center update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Draft Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness.
On 1080 The Fan. It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
You know, I hate the Yankees. Let me go ahead and be explicitly clear. I don't like them. Not one bit. Not the pinstripes, not their history. But Aaron Boone, the manager of the Yankees, got done dirty this morning against the Oakland A's. And, well, let's just roll the audio here and see what happened.
John Topane is the first base umpire. You saw him making that call.
You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and check. I'm going to get hit by the pitch. You got anything else to say? You're gone.
Ooh, okay, Hunter. Well, you know what? We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear, there you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything. Aaron's saying, hold on a second, I didn't say a word.
What you have there at the very end is Aaron Boone saying, I didn't say a bleeping word. And ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the tape. Yes, he did not say a single word, as you can see it, as the cameras from the third base line pointed from the umpire, that's Hunter Wendelstadt, towards the Yankees dugout, shows Aaron Boone not saying a word. And in fact, it is a Yankees fan behind Boone who drops an F-bomb, and the ump, who's very thin-skinned and very wound up, two batters into the game because he misses a call, throws Aaron Boone. Tremendous stuff.
That's an all-timer, because it, like, this is what we expect from, like, you know, what was it? Cowboy Joe West. He used to run guys real quick.
Yes.
And I wonder what happened in the first four pitches that really started this umpire off. Because obviously he had something for in his craw for Boone. You heard him kind of say, I was distracted. I almost got hit by a pitch, you know, and starts dressing him down. But to not have the willingness to hear Boone out that wasn't even me. And like Brad Ausmus was quick on it, who's a bench coach for the Yankees. He pointed directly to the guy you see it clear as day, light blue shirt,
called him out
front row
immediately.
Just points up like, dude, is that guy right there? He's the one that did it. And for that umpire just to be like, I don't care, you're still gone. That's an all-timer. And maybe this is an instance where, you know, Aaron Boone will never say it, but we've heard these tales before. It's a beautiful day. Maybe Boone's like, hey, I want to get 18 in.
Get 18 in?
Run me quick. Run me quick. Maybe not the fifth pitch of the game.
Yeah. Also, the umpire said, and this is, you can catch it there on the tape, but if you run it back, he says, I don't care who said it, you're gone. Which, what the?
Guilt by association there. It gets a little guilt by association.
Look, I love a good tantrum more than anyone. I throw my own fair share.
What?
But what the hell is this?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just Cincy umpires. And this is about the time of the year that we do see a little bit of the Cincy umpires happen. What I'm really looking forward to is that I'm going to Yankee Stadium. A month from tomorrow, I will be at Yankee Stadium.
You will.
And I will be within earshot of the umpire. I'm gonna try to get Aaron Boone kicked out of the game.
Ventriloquist him out.
I'm gonna try and get Aaron Boone run from this bad boy. I'm gonna be sitting there just start yelling at him. And I hope it's Angel Hernandez who's back there. But if it's umpire number 21, Hunter. I'm in.
Somebody needs to get like AI clips of Aaron Boone in press conferences and then have him like, if you're there and it's like Angel Hernandez is behind the plate, just have like an AI script of like, you know, just shouting obscenities via AI at Angel Hernandez just on your cell phone.
Is it, I mean, now Angel Hernandez, I know he's an umpire number 5.
Mm-hmm.
He wears that. Outside of that, I could not tell you a single umpire number, but I'm going to remember 21 now because 21 is this Hunter cat. And the bad blood, and that was another thing that I was astonished at. Scott Foster, still getting playoff gigs. Like they're rolling him. They didn't even put him on Cavs Magic, which is on NBA TV. They put him front and center, and he was even yelling at a coach in the NBA playoffs. There's very few officials that you know their number. The goal is you don't know their number.
I have to go unhinged real quick. Did you see what Joel Embiid did with the ball at the free throw line?
No.
He did like a DX crotch chop.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
He just hit the ball basically with his junk back to Scott Foster. And then Foster grabs the ball and like spins it around and inspects it. I'm like, are you looking for a sweat stamp? Like, what? Why are you inspecting the ball right now?
That's great.
I was just like, was something supposed to be like impressioned on the ball?
No.
What the hell?
He's just doing his due diligence, you know? He's just doing his due diligence.
He just wondered.
Yeah. He's just like, if he wipes it on his shirt, he's just like, all right, here, Joel, you can have the ball back.
Watch, it was a bet with Joel on the bench. I bet you I can get Scott Foster to wipe my.
But yeah, putting him on Knicks Sixers, like all eyes are on that game in the NBA is like, I know who the man for the job is.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put Scott Foster and crew on there.
Yeah.
But this one, Aaron Boone, I stand in solidarity with you. You did nothing wrong, sir.
He didn't. You know, Boone's got himself a nice little reputation for getting tossed. He has the most ejections since he became a manager in 2018.
Really? George Steinbrenner is happy in his grave.
How many do you think he has?
Since when?
2018.
Since 2018.
I'm surprised he's been the manager that long.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of Yankee fans are getting restless with Brian Cashman and, you know.
I don't feel like Boone's been there that long, but I guess, yeah.
I will go, let's see, we got the COVID shortened year.
Mm-hmm.
That took some games off.
Sure.
We've got 34. Ooh!
Good guess.
It was good. That was good. I was like 10 per year is too high. Yeah. But so 30 was, that's a lot though.
See, when you think about it, it's basically one every, 20 games?
One a month. Get run once a month.
That does line up with getting 18 in.
Just go ahead, get run one time a month.
Yeah.
And you're good. Got to keep the golf game sharp.
You know you got a travel day tomorrow, so you got to get it in today.
Sneaky, he's sitting there. Sneaky. He's cutting dust or kicking dust at the plate, going, you know how much I pay for my dues at the club every month? Run me from this game. I need to get 18 in to justify it.
If I don't get out there at least twice this month. But also, there's been a lot of talk, and I was watching Jeff Passan made the rounds after the Angel Hernandez stuff, and every single show he appeared on was talking about one thing: AAA baseball and electronic umps.
And that's the way they should go down that
if
road.
If Passan's hitting that yep. hard, Major League Baseball is going to push for it.
Don't take umpires out of the game.
But balls and strikes, put it in the robot hands?
Yeah, because then, like, the number one cardinal rule, don't argue balls and strikes. You'll get run.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Because that job is really hard, and most of these guys are really damn good at
everyone but Angel Hernandez is very good at it.
I mean, we're talking about 98-99% of
pitches. There's a guy last week on Friday we were talking. There was there's a group that does, like, an umpire scorecard. And he got 116 out of 117 pitches correct.
That's unbelievable. Like, these guys are, and it is.
And the
really
one
hard.
That he missed was dead on 50-50 or 49-51.
Called it a ball high, and it had movement going down, and it hit the top of the
zone. Yeah. It was like, you could go either way with it.
Yeah. I think that the umpires, they do such an incredible job.
With the exception of Angel Hernandez.
And
he is for anybody wondering, it's not a joke, he is the worst graded balls and strikes guy in baseball.
And it's not
And it's not particularly
close.
No, it's not close.
But even he is, like,
better than the guy off the street.
Yeah,
sure.
He is. And this is, like, being an umpire in baseball it's really hard to do. Like, mm-hmm. Have you ever done it before?
Yeah.
I've umpired, like, Little League games and stuff like that, and it's not easy to do.
Even at, like, lower levels where the ball's going, like, you know, 50, 60 miles an hour. Yeah.
Like, this is my thing. Like, we have a shortage of umpires mm-hmm. in, like, youth sports and stuff, and a lot of it is because people look at, like, this and they're like, dude, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to be at that. And then you get Little League parents who are like, ah, you're trying to screw my little Johnny over. It's like, no, you're not. Like,
what if I was?
If you are, you're a special kind of turd person. But at the same time,
shoe fits.
You go, it is incredibly difficult to do this job at the highest levels. I have zero expectations for the teenager who's looking to just fund his, you know, prime addiction, you know, like having isn't that the Jake Paul, the prime mm-hmm. drink? Kids just have those nonstop.
Endlessly.
It is ridiculous.
It's what plants crave.
It is what plants crave. The Idiocracy was wrong on one thing.
Mm. I did find it on Hulu, so thanks everybody who showed that out last week.
It is not Mountain
Dew.
I
did watch it this weekend.
Prime is what plants crave.
Yeah.
And our president will be, you know, Jake Hector Camacho Macho Paul. And he is going, prime is what the plants crave.
I can tell you what Colorado doesn't crave. It's not prime.
Ooh.
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 What's that?
Players in the transfer pool. Did you see what Cormani McClain said?
Yeah.
Ooh. We got to find a way to work that in today.
Do we have the audio? Oh, we got it.
You know what? Screw it. Let's go to that next, because there was a spicy little meatball coming out of Cormani McClain hitting the transfer portal, and it was I thought it was, this can't be real. We'll get to that here coming up with Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan.
You take them all, the man, and put them in control.
This is Draft Week with Danny and Dusty,
brought to you by Crunch Fitness
on 1080 The Fan.
Watch people's heads roll.
Following Oregon taking on the Colorado Buffaloes in the college football season, Oregon dropped the college football equivalent of a diss track, in which they showed the in-locker room footage of Dan Lanning saying, we're not going to play for clicks. And
We're fighting for wins.
Mmm. Nasty. Nasty.
Fighting for clicks, we're fighting for wins.
If I remember right, that video got like 10 million views on Twitter.
It was a lot. The juice on that video went everywhere, because that was also the game where, you know, Colorado was saying, we don't say anything. You know, a lot of people say stuff about us, and then
they also had the video of them on field chirping the entire pregame.
Shiloh Sanders chirping across the 50-yard line as Oregon was warming up. That was part of the video, too.
It was just perfect stuff. Well, Cormani McClain is one of the highest-rated recruits at his position at corner. He has entered the transfer portal. And when I first saw the quote, I was like, there's no way this is real. This is like ball sack sports, something along the line. This is, can't be real. Then you hear it and you go, oh my God.
Change the narrative of everyone's thinking on my name. Be a part of a real and a great program that's going to impact me at my best ability. And yeah, ready to get to a new place and get to work. Yeah, I feel like I just don't want to play for the Clips. I actually want to be involved with a great leading program that's going to develop players. With that being said, that'll wrap up all the questions asked from you guys.
I want to be a great leading program. I want to be at a place that's not out there pushing for clicks.
And I think the one thing that sticks out, like I don't want to just play for clicks. That's one thing that, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously around here, it gets even more traction because of the Lanning comment. Yeah. And that resonated and registered with some people, even in that locker room. Mm-hmm. But I think the thing that is a greater indictment is I want to be somewhere that is developing players and truly about winning.
Mm-hmm. And also that is the respect on my name thing of like, I don't want to be a part of a program that's a laughingstock.
Now, I think that there's Dion has always said, like, it's about the players. It's about developing talent, mm-hmm. developing young men and all that stuff. If you have a star recruit, one of the very few that you go out and mm-hmm. you do not recruit high school kids, one of the very few is like, I didn't feel that at all. That right there is just as big of a knock as I don't want to be at a place that just plays for clicks. Mm-hmm. That's pretty jarring to hear from him. Now, where he lands is going to be a really interesting one
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they're immediately, and this is what happens anytime a guy enters a portal, right? It is, oh, we don't really need him anyways.
Uh-huh.
Having high-end talent is always at a premium. Sure. And not every five-star recruit pans out.
No.
Like, they don't. And maybe he's not what he was hyped up to be in high school as a recruit. But when he's sitting there saying, my skills aren't being developed, that is the duty of the mm-hmm. coaching staff, is to say, yeah, he may not be that dude that we thought, who's mm-hmm. a plug and play right away, but you get him to that point because by all accounts, throughout the recruiting process, it was all of those tools are there. You got to harness them, help them grow, and he's going to be a dude. And that's not good for Dion because he's trying to go and lean into the portal even more.
And that's the thing is, you don't usually get these kind of things coming out of transfers.
No.
Even where things, here, perfect example. Okay, USC, Jason Zandamella had their top interior offensive lineman in this class. He's already in the transfer portal after 3 months. And he's from, I want to get it right, but I believe he's from Cameroon. And he spent time at one of the academy schools in Florida. And now he's going to end up at one of Florida, Miami, or Florida State. Why? Because he's got family there and he's got ties there. And going all the way across the country after leaving Africa is proven to be difficult for him. But nobody's bad-mouthing anybody. Nobody's saying anything about, even though USC just lost one of their best recruits they've had on the interior offensive or defensive side in the last 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Lincoln Riley said, no, we're not going to really get into it, but it is what it is. It's part of the cycle now.
Yeah. Well, and Kenny Dillingham, when Jaden Rashada left Arizona State, dude was like their crown jewel mm-hmm. after things fell through at Florida with his NIL. He came to Arizona State. He mentioned it's because of the relationships I have with guys like Kenny Dillingham. He ends up entering the portal, and Dillingham is like, somebody's getting a great one.
Yeah.
Good luck to you, buddy. And it's like, it's the new thinking of young head coaches.
Yeah,
you have to be living in that world.
And players too.
Guys are going to come and go.
Players can't sit there and badmouth coaches. Like even Damian Martinez, after Jonathan Smith left, he got frustrated. He probably said some things he probably wishes he'd take back.
Yeah.
Because what does he end up doing a few months later? And that's the thing, is like you never know kind of how things are going. So for McLean to go on record and put this on video, boy, that's a bad look.
Well, there's also the Jam Griffin. You're talking Oregon State running backs.
Yeah.
Jam Griffin's a great example of this. Mm-hmm. Jam Griffin goes in, and he's like, after 1 year, he's like, nope, this ain't it for me. Goes to what, Georgia Tech, then Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. And then this is why that new way of thinking, don't burn a bridge, because you never know when you're going to have to cross it again.
And where's he at now?
Oregon State. Oh, okay. He circles back to Oregon State, and grass isn't always greener on the other side. You know, you can go, and I think we're gonna be seeing that. Kids are going to make bad decisions. They're going to make decisions motivated by money.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make decisions motivated by, you know, the recruiting process. Mm-hmm. And one thing I think is good for college football, everybody's saying how awful the portal is, how awful NIL is. There have legitimately been, and it's tried and true. You can go to a handful of programs anywhere in the country, and you will find 5 or 6 guys on every roster that'll be like, I felt like I was lied to in recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And like, whether it was how much they valued me, how much playing time I was going to get, what I was going to get here or there. And for those guys now, and there are instances where there were some shady coaching staffs, mm-hmm, and shady recruiting. Now you have to be more on the up and up, because these guys can just be like, deuces.
I'm out.
I'm not going to put up with this anymore. And it is going to change a lot of the way that recruiting is done, mm-hmm, across college football.
Being honest with the guys, and then players being at least semi-honest with coaches going back.
Yep.
No, so I just thought that was an interesting one, because you don't typically see the players chirp out in public like that. Now, you hear about stuff behind the scenes all the time, but to put it up on Broadway, that was a lot, especially that particular line.
That one.
The playing for clicks line. It was that one resonated in the locker room, did it?
It hits. Mm. It hits a little bit harder.
All right, coming up next, speaking of hitting a little bit harder, Damian Lillard made his playoff debut for the Milwaukee Bucks. How did you feel about that one, seeing one of your own back on it? 503-864-6326. That's how you can text us and let us know. And we'll dive into the impact of Damian Lillard and the Milwaukee Bucks in the playoffs. Come up here on 1080 The Fan.
You can kiss my ass.
Yeah, dang.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.